Welcome to the Bald Move TV podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for all of television. I'm your host, Aaron.
That's a bold claim. I'm Jim.
And it's valid, because this week we're going to be talking about who won the week between Fargo, Leftovers, and Better Call Saul. Spoilers ahoy for all of those, because we can't really judge them without talking about them.
It's true.
This week, Fargo had the House of Special Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Better Call Saul had Off-Brand, and the Leftovers had It's a Matt World.
Right.
Where, among other things, Matt talks his way onto a chartered sex boat to Australia.
He sure does.
This is perhaps the toughest week to judge, because all of these episodes were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all kind of like towards the top of their game. What do we do?
Every week up to this point has been easy for me to say that Fargo is a distant third.
Uh-huh.
This distant. Week, that is not true.
Distant third?
Yeah, relatively.
Okay.
Distant third. This week, that's not true. I think that actually Better Call Saul is going to lag behind a little bit this week for me. I'm going to say Better Call Saul is number three for me.
So the pleasure of seeing Lydia and uncovering the origin of the Saul Goodman...
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
meant nothing to you.
It meant absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
What kind of fan are you?
Cold-hearted Better Call Saul
fan. Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould are listening with headphones and just tears streaming, like Nora Durst last week, tears streaming out of their eyes. So they're in third place, huh?
They should come on the podcast and they should talk about it because, of course, it's not like a crazy distant third.
The bronze medal was another at the Olympics.
Another excellent episode of Better Call Saul.
It's an honor to be on the podium, as always. That's the whole theme of this week.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if anyone has a really bad episode, we'll talk about it. But, like, this week was everything was, you know, tippy top.
But I think Fargo had the best episode of the season so far.
Yep.
And I think Leftovers was, you know, consistently good as Leftovers is, but maybe just a hair. It just didn't work for me as well as I hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
For a Matt-centric episode until the very end of that episode.
Would you say the worst of the Matt-centric episodes?
I mean, they've been so fucking good.
That's what I'm saying.
The second season one might be the best.
The first season one is kind of like where the Leftovers rounded into shape and like, oh, this is something amazing I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And the second season one, yeah, his desperate attempt to get inside Miracle with his wife was fucking amazing. And this one is good, mm-hmm. but it felt like more of like, well, we can't just leave Matt dangling, so we need another Matt episode. But it's really good, and I thought Christopher Eccleston was typically excellent when he was dealing, you know, going before the face of God, mm-hmm. and how he kind of like, as a, you know, 50-some-year-old man turned into a little boy somehow in that performance, I thought was amazing.
It was, yeah.
A lot of great visuals. The ending of that episode.
It's fantastic.
All the stuff that went on the sex boat I thought was really visually interesting.
It was, but for me, that's kind of where it loses out a point or two is it didn't connect to the rest of the episode in the way that I hoped it would.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think Matt being almost raped by a robotic lion was gripping?
Yeah. It was certainly gripped something, or they tried to, but... wriggle free.
Okay, so am I hearing you right that you're at Leftovers 1, Fargo 2, Better Call Saul 3?
I really enjoyed this week's Fargo. I really fucking enjoyed it because it was hilarious.
Fargo was very, and I think Fargo's it's funny when they were at their best when they really straddle that black comedy just so.
Yeah.
And they really fired on all those cylinders and had, I think this is the best cast they've had.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's saying a lot because we had Martin Freeman and
Billy Bob Thornton,
and then we had Patrick Wilson,
uh-huh.
and
Dan Aykroyd, Ted Danson,
and a lot of people.
Matt Damon, Kirsten Dunst, tons of people.
But I feel like this is you got the people. You got Ewan McGregor.
Yeah,
you got Michael Stuhlbarg. You got David Thewlis.
Crushing it. Michael Stuhlbarg and David Thewlis are incredible on screen this episode.
And then you also have this little known starlet, Carrie Coon.
Right.
Who's like, And this is not a knock on her, but like she is not the huge bright point in the season. She's kind of like the center of the show that everything's revolving around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that she will have a chance to flex her muscles, but like it's just, you know, like The Leftovers is fucking God's gift to actors, it seems like.
Right.
So are you actually suggesting that Fargo might have surpassed The Leftovers?
I think I am. Week? Yeah. It had Leftovers had a less than stellar, which is doesn't happen often. But less than stellar episode, in my opinion, and Fargo had maybe the best of the series.
I almost regret giving Fargo the win last week because I got this weird, like, I can't give the VIP twice in a row, especially if it's not going to be to Michael Jordan kind of thing going on for me.
and do you think this episode was better than last week's for Fargo?
Yes.
Do you think this week of Leftovers was better than the previous week?
No.
Then it seems like the choice is evident, right?
Right, right. But So I think it goes for me, Fargo, Leftovers, Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I think me too. And Fargo and Leftovers are just like neck and neck this week.
Right, right. And that's the thing is like I was almost not engaged with Fargo beyond just the intellectual. Well, Fargo's good and I like the performances and I respect the pedigree until these last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So kudos for them from coming out of nowhere and just like really – you know, especially because I think the other thing that we haven't talked about is the fact that Fargo bats last every week.
It does.
That is, I know for a fact that there's probably a little bit of fatigue in my watching when it's late Wednesday night and I'm watching this thing for the first time. Whereas, you know, Leftovers, like it's been 4 days since I've seen like my favorite show. I'm fucking ready for it.
Yeah.
So like the fact that Fargo, I mean, all these things have, I don't know which is better. Like, I feel like that going first is the advantage. Although,
There's also recency bias, right?
Yeah, it's like, always seen in like in the Olympics, like going first is hard because you know people like want to hold a couple points in reserve because you never know how amazing the next thing's going to be.
Uh-huh.
It's assuming, but I feel like for watching television, going first is the best because that's the first impression. It kind of sticks with you, and you're subconsciously judging everything that comes after against that touchstone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Better Call Saul and Fargo have a little bit of a bias that they're not the first thing I see in the week.
Hmm.
Having said that, it's kind of amazing that Fargo is able to best for me Leftovers 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I think we're not split this week. Our lists are exactly the same.
Yep, yep. And then also, nice. Like, I think this was a really good episode. And I remember saying that Better Call Saul really felt like a breath of fresh air. It feels like a season opener this year, this week, because they just moved storylines in a new direction, and there was like a new sense of momentum and purpose, and we've dealt with this other thing, and like a lot of forward motion going on. And most weeks I try to just make sure that people know that this is really splitting pretty fine hairs, but this week especially.
Yeah.
You know, if Fargo's 100, then, you know, The Leftovers is a 97 and Better Call Saul is a 95.
Yeah. No, I mean, Better Call Saul has, I mean, some pretty momentous events in the timeline of that character, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had one of those episodes where they dealt with a lot of characters.
And they did it in a complete, like, there are so many theories about when Saul would be born and what circumstances, and no one saw this coming, and everyone universally agreed that the twist was both surprising and delightful.
Yeah.
And you really see the care of a writer's room that doesn't take the first thing that comes to mind, but they just really stick at it. And news, no, what's the best? What is the best thing that we can come up with?
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy as a local TV commercial producer is pretty fucking good for that character.
It is. It's great. But man, these shows are all just so good.
Yeah.
How do you pick? Well, I guess you pick week by week and on an arbitrary basis.
Yep. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Leftovers is entering its downhill stretch.
Yeah. Three episodes left.
Three episodes to go. So like, it wouldn't surprise me if they swept it from here on out. And if they don't, if they don't win the finale week, then oh boy.
Yeah,
that's not going to be a good look. So the other thing I wanted to do is touch in on Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something that I was not super impressed with up until the last episode or two.
Okay.
Because what do you think of Richard's Internet 2 project now? Have they done enough with the fact that he's gone through Peter's notes and the fact that that you know, especially now, I guess the net neutrality bubbling up in the last few weeks has kind of made me appreciate to where maybe an Internet 2 project, if you could. I forget, they had this like mathematical, like, you know, the reason why this Internet 2 project could succeed with a slow growth model versus the other one because of the breakthrough of encryption that they've made in the first season, that this would be like, they had enough mumbo jumbo and enough political stuff has gone on with the Internet that I kind of am ready to like, okay, this could be a multi-billion dollar thing if he can pull it off. Whereas at first it just seemed like it's a boondoggle.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Internet 2 did not excite me at all when it was introduced as a concept. But I think the most important thing that excites me is the interaction that Gavin and Richard are going to be forced to have. Mm-hmm. Because both of those characters are eccentric in their own ways. Mm-hmm. And when you put those two together, I think it's just going to be...
And they're also bad CEOs, both of them.
They are, yeah.
That's the thing both Richard doesn't want to admit, but he's a bad CEO.
Yeah.
He'd be a great... CIO, maybe.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I also like the fact that, like, the Guilfoyle character, like, it's hard to hit him just right, to where, you know, he doesn't just come off as a massive asshole. And the way, and it also felt very real because I've dealt with those personality types where, like, everyone's work is shit and I'm just towering above everyone. Like, I can't recommend a replacement for myself. I'm just too awesome. And like this whole seduction that like he was trying to get Richard to beg him for a job, and then Richard begs him for a job, and he's like, "Nah, gargle my balls," or whatever it was. Right.
Gargle my, yeah,
was it gargle balls. My balls? Mm-hmm. But then he did
chortle.
Yeah. But then he did like make a record. So did that surprise? I thought that they're just going to get the gang back together.
Yeah, I did too. And it seems like they are still. I mean, Guilfoyle does come in later on, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I." What is his rationale? It's basically like there is nobody else who can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to watch you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So
why is Dinesh the odd man? Like, so he's still working on the, is he still to see? No, he's not. That got bought out by Gavin.
Right. Hooli bought
the snap, the Piper chat.
Yep.
So what the hell is Dinesh doing? Why? I thought he felt very curiously detached this last episode. Like
he did, yeah.
Like he didn't care that Richard was recruiting Jared and all these other people. And
oh, he was. Wasn't he working on seafood?
Oh, right.
With Ehrlich and Jin Yang.
Right. Which that I thought Jin. So the best part of this episode, in my mind, was Ehrlich thinking he could pull off the Corvette. And the fedora, and then him being outside a building looking at his reflection and being like, God damn it.
Right.
Especially when, what did Jing Yang, what did he turn that app into? Oh, the fact that it's a dick pic filter.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like his seafood can tell hot dog, not hot dog, but the thing is, it's only good at that, but it's also really good at penis detection, which is actually a big problem with a lot of these social media things.
It is, and it's perfect that Ehrlich's assholery gave him the idea in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, and then he sold
his own doing.
It's a little bit of Fargo. He sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil. He's essentially for a used Corvette.
Yep. Yeah, so, I love that scene where Jin Yang rolls up in the Corvette and he's blasting this, I assume, like Chinese rap music.
Right.
And it's just like his attitude is just hilarious.
Yeah.
And man, I love when Ehrlich is thrown into the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's an asshole. I like to see him roll around in the mud.
What were some of the other highlights from the previous? Like, I really enjoyed Kumail Nanjiani's hair with product in it. And his turn as the CEO. And turns out he's just as terrible as anybody else. And the not properly age-gating and the EULA. I thought that was pretty funny. And the fact that Gavin... like went in with this ultra aggressive thing to buy him out, which just played right in their hands, was really funny. I think the previous episode, Ehrlich hijacking the seafood presentation from Jin Yang in real time was pretty inspired. That's the thing, like, that's so stupid. Like, why would anything think a Shazam for food?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to take a picture of this thing, and it'll tell you what type of...
What is it?
What the fuck?
Do you not know what a pancake looks like?
Or just, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what is the market? Like, if somebody just posts an Instagram of their lunch, and someone says, ooh, this looks good,
yeah.
and they didn't describe it in any of the metadata, and you can be like, oh, well, that's a pastrami from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just ridiculous on the face of it that it would get funding.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, you know, these ridiculous concepts just getting funding because... That's what Silicon Valley does.
What do you think about Rebecca? So the thing what happened with – is that her name, Rebecca?
I think so.
The one that Richard's always had a crush on.
At Reviga.
At Reviga. That she is trying to eliminate this brain-dead douche,
yeah,
and gives him false information about seafood, which turns out to be dropped in her lap. It made her feel kind of inept because I just feel like that she should have been able to outfight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now this guy's at the top of Reviga and seems like he's trying to lead a coup against whatever the autistic CEO of the company is. What's her name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
I don't care.
Lori?
Yeah, it might have been Lori. I don't care about really any of those characters. Like, I don't understand the continued fascination with Rebecca. I think Reviga, like, they seem like that it's kind of desperate that they're trying to keep that company involved in I don't know, maybe it's nice that you have one VC that you know the characters at, so, but I don't know. Like,
I almost started to think that when they kept Ehrlich in the loop over and over and over again, even though he was on the outs with all the companies. But
Ehrlich is, you keep him around because he's gold.
Right, right. He's
no one
a
in
hilarious
Rebecca
character.
Is interesting beyond pretty one note. Like, this girl is hot.
Yeah.
This girl doesn't understand anything about anything, even though she's a brilliant businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude is a fucking dumbass who just keeps falling to the top.
Yeah.
Like, that, I don't know that any of that stuff is super interesting or funny.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's probably the least funny portion of the show for me.
So hopefully that's a distant C plot, and the stuff with Richard and the Gavin mm-hmm. heats up.
Yeah.
What about Bughead?
It's Monica. Monica's her name.
Monica, shoot. Yeah. See, I don't even remember her name. Like, if I've been watching for three seasons, I can't.
This is what happens when
name.
You watch 19 shows at a time.
Well, plus it's just, I feel also sometimes, like, I was trying to think of the deputy's name in Fargo. The dumb one that was supposed to be Jim Gaffigan. I'm like, oh, I know. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Who cares?
I don't know his fucking name.
Like, he's been on the screen for 2 minutes and he made zero impression. So mm-hmm. make a more memorable character next time. Also, I'm terrible at names and faces.
What do you think Guilfoyle's first name is?
Richard. No. Gary.
Bertram.
Bertram?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah, it's a weird
Guilfoyle.
One.
What's Big Head doing? He accidentally got offered a professorship at Yale, Stanford, that
Ehrlich tried to take advantage of.
Ehrlich tried to take advantage of, and then his whole class turned into, like, they essentially bought the seafood concept out.
Yeah.
And did, you know, because it's essentially it's a neural network that they just feed a bunch of information. It's done deal. So I guess that's, I don't know, like, is what's going on with Big Head now? I thought it was super entertaining him being like this passive member of Richard's company that his dad is like not allowing, or Ehrlich rather, his dad's not allowing Ehrlich to jerk around or dick with. But I don't know. Like, Buckhead's always been a weird kind of floating thing of the show. He's in, he's mm-hmm. out, he's at Hulu, he's not, and he's another one of those like just idiots. Or wait, is he a good coder? I mean, not by Guilfoyle standards.
I don't think so, but I really don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever seen him code.
Okay.
Or do anything, honestly.
Right, yeah. I'm like, I'm just wondering, like, what's his future? I mean, is he funny? I mean, the guy's got a funny, he looks funny.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But that's about all there is to it.
I guess his situation is funny.
He can't be insulted, he can't be shamed.
Right.
He has no pride or even sense of self.
It almost seems like he adopts whatever sense of self someone tells him he should have.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, yeah, I guess so then.
Like, Ehrlich rips massive bong hits to get to where Bughead rolls out of bed every day.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's weird. But I'm glad because, like, I was really worried about this season up until the last two episodes, and it's finally gotten kind of funny.
Yeah.
Anything else that we've been doing on the side?
No.
Do you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's it. We will, Cecily and I will be back next week. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm starting to figure out, get my footing with American Gods. That show has been really amazing. Handmaid's Tale has been really, really good as well and amazing. We'll be back to talk, give updates about that so far in the season. And then we'll also be back on Bald Move TV to do Who Won the Week again. That's coming out all next week. And if you like to join us with all the other stuff we're doing at Bald Move, you can find it all at baldmove.com. Follow us on Facebook @ Bald Move. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Bald Move. As always, if you'd like to send feedback on the TV show, tv@baldmove.com. But we will see you next week. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.